Hey, Jack, or Richard SF.
Yeah, I'm on my partner's computer. I'm in Vegas.
Oh. Are you having fun?
Well, I'm not losing any money, so that's okay.
Ah. Have you been winning at least money?
Well, we come here and play bingo about every third month, and they have this big bingo tournament for $50,000 a day. And so we just come. I just play a lot of bingo. He plays slots.
Oh my gosh, that's so
Yeah.
cute.
I'm like an old lady. I go in there with all my money.
Hey, Mark.
Hello. Hello. Well, this is the easiest meeting ever, so.
It sure is. Manuel, what are you wearing? Because I love it. Is that a sweater or a cardigan or a blanket? I don't know what it is, but I
I think
want
it's like
it.
a poncho.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got like a big owl in the front. It's
Oh.
really convenient because it doesn't have any sleeves really, so I can just like freely move around and it keeps me warm.
And it just looks super comfy.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
So how many do we need for ever since
Perform.
COVID? You can't remember anything. Yes.
Let's see. Do we have any RSVP excused absences?
Yes, I have Irma Parada as excused. That one too.
All right.
So we only
So
need
then.
four, right? And we have.
So are we good to go? I wasn't. Yeah. See, I'm my mind. All right. We'll start with the quick introductions. Go ahead, TJ.
I think TJ was in process when we saw
Yeah,
him.
I think he was too. Go ahead, Matt.
Matt Geltmaker, council member.
Nah.
Hi, Nolly, council member with Marin County.
And there's Bill. Say hello, Bill.
Good afternoon, Bill Bloom, grantee HIV Health Services, DPH.
And then we can go with Manuel.
Hi everyone, Manuel Vasquez. I'm with MoCD, but I'm also really excited to be at my first subcommittee meeting on the Planning Council.
Yeah. Then staff. Go ahead, David.
David Jordan, Council Staff.
And Kira.
Kara, Council Staff.
Mark.
Mark Bonner, Council Staff.
And then next is agenda, right? No, yeah. Trying to remember all this stuff. So there we go. We'll take a quick look at it and see if there's any changes. I don't think so. So we'll prove that by a consensus. And then we'll go with the minutes from the last meeting. There's any changes, let me know. If not, we'll prove that by consensus also. And then we're ready for, we've introduced everybody, so announcements then. Anyone have an announcement?
Yeah, just Letting everyone know, as you may remember, last month we had a conversation around timeline to returning in person and or staying in remote meetings. This committee, as I think it was a pretty short, I don't think there were a lot of people here last time, but the committee agreed that they would advocate for staying remote through January.
Right.
All of the committee's recommendations went through to steering, and steering agreed that that was probably a good idea. So as of right now, leadership has agreed that we are staying remote through January. We will revisit the conversation then.
Right. Any other announcements? Oh, go ahead, Thomas.
Oh, that was my hello.
Well, that was your hello. Okay.
Don't call any attention to me, wave.
Okay. What was next on the agenda?
Public comment and then the Marin report.
Is there any public comment? If not, then we'll move on to the Marin report.
Okay, great. Hi, everyone. Let me share my screen. Okay, and do you see the fact sheet?
Yes.
Okay, great. Let me make it a little smaller. So this is the same format that we've been keeping for the past many years. And so I won't go into like all of the details, but I'll just pull out some key pieces from this report. So as usual, we give you the chart that shows the number of cases in Marin County, and this is San Quentin, but then all of the tables and figures coming after this does not include the San Quentin numbers, only the numbers in the community. And so as you can see here, number of living cases that we have in the community is 611, and then San Quentin is 269. This shows the gender breakdown of people living with HIV in Marin. Really no change year to year, 85% male, 14% female, and a small percent, 1% transgender. Here we have some more demographics. This is the age breakdown, not a lot of change as well. We've been seeing over a majority that are 55 and older. And then this shows the race ethnic background of people living with HIV, 61% white, about a quarter Hispanic Latino, 7% Black African American. And then this is the transmission category, 64% MSM, 6% MSM and IDU, 7% IDU, 12% high risk heterosexual contact. And then I'll mention some of the bigger changes that we've seen on a later page. And then this is the care continuum for 2020. And so some of the biggest changes that we've seen is, so out of the 629 people that were diagnosed, we did see a drop, 3% drop for people in HIV care. And then at 73% achieved viral suppression. So this is in comparison to the previous year. So this is the same percentage that we saw in 2018. And then in 2019, we saw a 5% increase. So we were doing really well in 2019. But then now in 2020, we saw that drop back to 73% viral suppression. So it's possible this was due to the COVID pandemic, but really hard to say until we really look deeper into the 29 people. And I don't have a slide on this, but in terms of looking at the people who were newly diagnosed, out of the 14 people who were newly diagnosed, 100% were in HIV care and 100% achieved viral suppression within 6 months. So really the drop is among people that we were already diagnosed with HIV, so not the newly diagnosed. And then, so kind of the over the past 10 years, we've averaged 16 new HIV diagnoses. I think the previous year, the average was 17. So really a very slow but downward trend in the number of new diagnoses, which you can see here on this orange dashed line. And then for this chart, we've broken it down into 5-year increments. So 2012 to 2016, compared to the more recent 5 years, 2017 to 2021, just because the numbers are pretty small. And so our epidemiologists felt like it was easier to kind of see the trends comparing these 2 5-year increments. And so really, in terms of gender, we don't see a big change at all for the gender breakdown. In terms of the age breakdown, we are seeing fewer diagnoses among those who are 55 and older. As you can see, the previous 2012 to 2016, it was about 21%. And then the more recent 5 years, it was 10%. And then for the race ethnic breakdown, we saw an increase in the Hispanic, Latino, Latinx community. So you see 33% here, and it increased to 50%. And for all the other ethnic groups, there was a decrease, as you can see. And then for the transmission category, kind of the only notable trends is, like, you can see like a slight increase in the IDU percentage, 2% to 7%. But really that's just because I think we had like a blip one of the years where there were a few more diagnoses that were IDU as the transmission category. So kind of looking at all of the demographics in general, the trend that we see is that more of our new diagnoses are among young Latino MSMs. And so that's kind of our focus, is to really making sure that we have outreach plans to support that community. And this is kind of just the observations that I've mentioned already. Some things like, we don't have the case rate in the chart, but the case rates for Latinos are 6 times higher than for whites and 12 times higher for African Americans than for whites. And then kind of the numbers showing that the average age for Latino diagnoses was 31 compared to 40. So that's why we really want to outreach to the younger population. And then something else that I wanted to mention is 72% of Latinos reported MSM as a risk factor compared to 53% non-Latinos. So that's why kind of the group that we want to outreach to is young Latino MSMs. And then every year we conduct an annual countywide client satisfaction survey. We mail out the survey to all of the Aries Share clients. So we mailed out 171 surveys, and the response rate was 46%, which is an increase compared to previous years. So that was good. And then this shows the breakdown of our 12 members in our care council as of September of this year. And then for our priorities and allocations, I'll go into what we did complete. So we were able to provide the following present data presentations to our council. It included the client satisfaction survey results, service category summary sheets, Aries data, and then also some Epi data. And so last month, the council completed the prioritization rankings. There were just some small changes of categories moving up up or down one ranking. The bigger changes are oral health moved up 2 rankings, and then housing moved down 4 rankings. And that's really because lately, past couple of years, housing it went up in prioritization due to the pandemic, and now it's kind of gone down again. And then in terms of the allocations, we didn't complete our allocations process at the September meeting. So we are meeting again tomorrow to complete it. And we will likely see some changes in the allocations, because there was a proposal to put more money into the food vouchers, because a lot of the members and the council members felt that there was, you know, an increased cost in food, and it was a high need. And so we went back and redid our county proposal. And so we'll see how it goes at our meeting tomorrow to see what they approve. And so this is kind of just in draft form. It's an incomplete chart, but you can see the comparison in terms of the ranking process, where oral health went up and housing went down. And that's it. So once we finish our allocations, I can update this so we can have it ready for the council meeting at the end of the month. And there's something in the chat.
All right, that was great. Are there any questions?
Did Manuel have his hand up?
Yes. Thank you for this data. I was wondering, do we, I just searched the whole document for housing and I didn't see like a number of people who are unhoused who are HIV positive. Do y'all actually have that number of like how many people who are unstably housed or homeless that are HIV positive?
You know, I don't know if we have the number for everyone in Marin County. I could get the number for people who are in our services through ARIES, because, you know, that's a category that the case managers fill out, whether they're unhoused, unstably housed, or stably housed. So I would be able to get some ARIES data on housing, but not overall in Marin County. But I could ask as well if there's a way to get that number.
Yeah, I was just thinking of like the PIT count, at least what we do in San Francisco. And I don't even know if it's possible to add a question whenever you do it in Marin, but, you know, I just am so thoughtful of it's so expansive, you know, Marin in terms of where people may be housed. So thank you.
Yeah, you know, and we do have like a whole person care program in Marin County. And so I wonder if they have numbers. I mean, I don't know about for specifically for people living with HIV, but I'm curious what that number would be too. I can reach out to see if they have something to share.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, Lee, if you may be able to get some additional. So you were right that that you should be able to get a fair amount of data out of ARIES, which is what we do. You may also be able to get housing diagnosis through EHARS.
Mm.
So your folks at EPI may be able to provide you additional information.
Great. I'll ask our epidemiologist.
Any other questions?
Just a comment, that would be interesting. Of course, like folks who are unhoused, marginally housed,
homeless, that's a big topic area for San Francisco. I'd be quite curious to see how big a topic area and how big the gap in needs are, at least certainly around positive folks in Marin or even, you know, in our other partner, San Mateo. Because I think there's a lot of, I guess, permeability. People do move about throughout the three areas.
So, I guess I'm unclear as to what the question. So we do, I mean, when Maria and Floor just did the presentation of all the ARIES data, that was part of the ARIES data that each jurisdiction provided, and then it was all lumped up. So that's people who are accessing services. We're not going to have any idea of homeless people that are not in care. Because we wouldn't even know that they're in our county.
Oh, I guess I wasn't speaking towards not in care. With the ARIES data, I mean, it's been a little bit since I've seen that. With the ARIES data, did it actually divide a number of folks who were in care, who also were marginally housed? Did it divide it up by county?
So the ARIES data, we run the STAR report, and Flora and Maria had that in their presentation, how each, the numbers of each county, because HRSA breaks it into stably housed, transitionally housed, blah, blah, blah. They kind of have the different categories. So that was all part of that. I believe they had that in that presentation. We provided it to them from each county, how that was broken down through areas.
So in some ways that actually answers Manuel's question then, is that data is actually available and has already been presented. Okay, thank you. That certainly answers my comment as well.
Well, I'm not sure. So that's what I'm asking. I'm not sure if that's the question or not.
Go ahead, Mamo.
I just put my question in there because I know Bill has his hand up. You know, I don't know if y'all have a homeless department. I mean, Matt, I work with you because I do the CAPR. I have your data. But yeah, I was wondering, similar to what I proposed to Liam, you know, if y'all do a PIT, a point in time count, we do that in San Francisco. And I feel like most homeless departments, if you receive any COC funding, continuum of care or things of that nature, usually can, but I'm not sure if it can be added either because it's a HUD thing or something.
Yeah. So, but are you asking how many homeless are in the county or regardless of HIV diagnosis? That's what I'm not understanding.
Sure. So of the total homeless or unstably housed people in San Mateo, how many people of that group are positive? And, you know, just a simple question, if you're in PITS, hi, you know, where do you receive your care? Are you HIV positive? And if they answer, they answer. They don't.
I'm doubtful that I'm going to be able to get that information. I know that they do a point in care count, point in time count, but I don't know if HIV is a, and we have street, yeah. So it's, we're just very different than San Francisco. So this is, I mean, I think both Marin and San Mateo are very different. That we're not a city and a county. So we, it's very different. So it's a lot of times it's apples and oranges.
So if there's a Bill, did you have another question?
Yeah. So Manuel, in part, you know, the EHARS is very good at tracking housing status at time of new diagnosis. So that's kind of a surrogate market for you. Often EHARS does do some follow-up. The challenge that I think our sister counties are having, which we have as well, is that you can get a good marker for people that are in care and in consistent care, but for folks that are out of care, they're out of care, right? So how do you get that information? So we rely on EpiSurveillance to cross-reference those two lists. I'm not, you know, we have a super robust, very well-staffed EpiSurveillance department here, which I'm not sure is the case in our sister departments, but the sister counties, but that's the way we get surrogate markers for it. And I'm guessing the homelessness is situation is in both other counties as well, but looks pretty different, you know, because parts of the county is rural, you know, just different populations. There are city folks. I think it's a lot more by housing encampments and stuff. So I'm sure an issue there, but likely different. But to give you an idea of other places, we get information. And I think the counties have some ability, but probably not as much as San Francisco.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Thank you for that information, Bill. Yeah. I bring it up because I am very familiar with San Rafael, and I recently was talking to the director, and he was asking me about, you know, implementing what they're doing in Oakland with the tiny houses, and there's a lot of back and forth in the community about implementing that. But, you know, I really feel like I probably should do some research on, like, is that a way to add that in the point in time? I mean, I know the big challenge. So creating the last HIV housing plan, the strategic plan in San Francisco, was challenging to identify homeless positives because of that very reason. We only have it if they're in care. You know, I talked to Susan Buckbinder and a lot of different people, and they said, you know, that's the limitation. But again, pulling our resources, it takes a village. I wonder if we could partner with other departments. I definitely want to partner with HSH to get a more accurate number so we can really make sure we're serving positives who are homeless.
Yeah, and I mean, in our county, we do have fewer people. So our epidemiologist does work on like an out of care list. So we do actually have a good idea of the folks who are, have been diagnosed with HIV and kind of like working with the agencies, you know, where the person is at. So I can definitely ask what numbers she has, because we do have, yeah, a good idea of like really by name who the folks are in Marin County. Yeah.
I appreciate thinking out the box. Thank y'all.
Okay, TJ. Hey,
thanks. I just wanted to say, wouldn't the hot team possibly have this information?
They have it in San Francisco, but I'm not sure if they have a hot team in San Mateo or Marin. Mm-hmm.
So you guys have to remember our numbers are very small compared to San Francisco. So it's a whole different animal. Neither of our counties are going to have the infrastructure. So yes, we do have, I mean, I know that I work with the street medicine team and everything. We have one person that they treat that does not, that's homeless, that does not come into our clinic, but we also do track the people who come into our clinic. So being able to locate homeless who are HIV positive who are not in care is going to be not something that there's a lot of resource to do just because of the numbers.
Okay, any other questions? If not, thanks, Na, and we'll move on to Matt.
Okay. So I need to share. And I'm not as familiar with Zoom. So how do I share? Oh, share screen. Hello. Okay. Is that working?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, this, as Naz said with her presentation, this is the same format that I think I've looked back, used for about over 10 years. The first three pages are all the epi data, and this is all last year's epi data. My epi's, my epi, who's only 0.25, my epi, is working on this, and will have, she said, the data for me for the 24th for the full council. So again, we always just kind of show the EHARS data for San Mateo. We'll have it for 2021, and then we compare it to state kind of demographics through gender, race, ethnicity, current age, exposure. Always have this little map just to kind of show people. And I know I can't, I guess I can make it smaller, but then it's gonna be hard to see. So let me know if it needs to be smaller or larger. But it kind of shows the areas, the darker the color is the more concentration of cases. Again, though, Brisbane here has a small number of people living there. So even a couple of cases is gonna make that deep blue. So we always have to take that into account, kind of where, and then there's a lot of unincorporated areas that have like no population, so very rural. Then going down, the characteristics of the newly diagnosed cases. So we'll have that kind of, and we always have the previous 4 years behind it. So we'll just tack on here the 2021 and looking at them. I know that we did have a slight increase in cases in 2021. I don't have the exact number, but it's always been kind of hanging between 60 and 2020 was obviously a much lower year. So this just gives the same demographics for the newly reported HIV cases. We're starting to try to delve a little bit deeper into who exactly the newly diagnosed cases are, just so we can get a better understanding. We get a lot of new to the country and who are diagnosed as late testers when they're going in for other issues, either through the EDs or through being hospitalized. And that happened actually a lot during COVID. And it was people new to the country. And so it's really hard to outreach or anything population that's not been in your county. But we're trying to do a little bit deeper delve into even understanding how long people have been in the county, where they're coming from, just kind of any of their networks so that we can try to do outreach and catch people before they're ending up in EDs and in the hospital. So the first three slides are always, they'll get updated by our EPIs. Key points that I always put, so this is updated. So we did have the increase in Part A for the current fiscal year. Again, we keep decreasing, and my very last slide, I think it is, kind of shows all the service categories over the past several years and the changes to the allocations. But we decreased another large percentage to outpatient ambulatory because of the fewer people who are eligible for Ryan White funded in those service categories. And then we were able to increase our medical case management, mental health, early intervention, which is our linkage to care and retention in care, emergency financial assistance, and I agree, our community board also was with food bank home delivered meals has been really pushing for that over the past couple of years. So we were able to do some increase there. Again, increase in people client seeking Ryan White HPLA funded services. So this is all from Aries. Total of 603 clients. Of the 603, 42 were new clients to our county, and we had 6 clients die. Edison, I kind of really focused again on the vaccine. Last year's report, I was talking about the COVID vaccine since that was fairly new. Now we also did the MPX vaccines and we're still doing COVID booster vaccines for with the current bivalent boosters. But also we were the first clinic in the medical center to offer the MPX vaccine to our high-risk patients. And we did outreach efforts to get the patients in. And then we've also continued to bring in people who weren't able to come to the 3 kind of mass vax clinics that were organized right at the beginning of vaccinations to get them just when they're coming in for their regularly scheduled medical visits. Our prevention funding, again, through PS 181802 with the state It's been the same for a while, only the 199. We use a lot of our general funds to cover the cost for our HIV prevention services, targeted HIV testing, outreach, PrEP linkage and retention to care, syringe exchange services. PrEP services are at Edison Clinic also, same clinic as the HIV clinic. Referrals come from other providers, the prevention team, our STD clinic, patient self-referrals. I think I had also mentioned last year, or the, it was whenever we were in person, so it couldn't have been last year, how because of our integration of STD and HIV, we do have discussions with all of our positive rectal gonorrhea patients around PrEP as part of our surveillance and case investigations, because it's all the same staff. This was the increase in our STD funding and our hepatitis C funding that we got through the state. We've partnered a lot with our correctional health partners where we're increasing testing within the two county jail facilities. We're doing gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis testing on an opt-out basis. Then also our certified HIV and HCV test counselors go into both jails twice a week to offer rapid HCV testing. Any rapid reactive is getting viral RNA, a blood draw right then, so we can determine if it's an active HCV infection. And then the same person who goes into the jails twice a week can work with people even after they've been released and getting connected to care for treatment. So it's a nice kind of link. Doesn't even have to be a warm handoff because it's the same person. My community board is still fairly small, 7 full-time members. We actually have not been able to meet in person because of between COVID and also this the community board voting not to meet in person because several of them did not feel comfortable still meeting in person. And several of our members are not good with technology. So I have to do a lot of creative work in either printing out materials and mailing them through the US Postal Service, and then making calls and trying to connect with people to make sure that they're getting the information. So it's a lot of kind of old school, not meeting, but just kind of old school transferring of information and making sure people get information. Again, the demographics of our community board, that's just our little flyer that we have online. Here's the prioritization process. We usually do it in April, but again, I had to do it over virtual meetings kind of across several months to catch people and to really work with their questions. So we only made a very slight change. As you can see, the previous priority from last year, the new priority did not change in the core services, but in support services, their only change was that there was a tie last year between medical transportation and food. This year, there was just a slight change enough to make food go lower, but people still wanted more money in it. And again, we use our Ryan White Part B dollars to go into medical transportation anyway. Here's that last slide that I mentioned, kind of showing the shift. It's really interesting kind of to see how even if I went further back before the implementation of ACA, you know, we used to put a lot more money into outpatient ambulatory. So now we're down to literally only 24,000 going into outpatient ambulatory because most of our clients are eligible for other type of coverage. Oral health has remained the same. We had decreased our medical case management so we could add other money to other categories last year, but we had to bump it back up this year. Mental health, we increased. The early intervention services, we increased just because we needed to fund more of the positions that are doing that work. The housing, again, it's our same community-based organization that does the housing and emergency financial assistance. So they've always said that it's easier if we put more money into the emergency financial assistance category because it's more flexible than the Ryan White housing because of the limitations that HRSA has around the housing. And you can see here then the food bank, how we did bump that up. It was 2 years ago when we had the Part A CARES money where we had really started ramping that up. And that's been a big assistance for many of the clients. And here's the Ryan White funding that we, Part B funding that we put into medical transportation. And that's actually always been, we always spend right around there. If we spend on that, then we always have county funds that we put into it, but we haven't had to do that, especially over the last couple of years. We're still doing some telemedicine within the clinic, so not as many people are needing the medical transportation. And then with Medi-Cal paying for transportation as well, so we haven't had as much of an issue and much of a need for it. So that's this year's presentation. Again, I'll have the new EPI numbers for the full council on the 24th.
Great. Are there questions? Go ahead, Mark.
I guess a question for both Matt and so the allocation amounts do tend to shift in both counties in a way that's different than San Francisco, right? Which does try to keep things level. Matt, you mentioned that for at least one service category, that county funds or other sorts of funding streams do tend to make up that difference. So perhaps that means no pain is felt by the actual service agencies. Of course, even though we're not supposed to talk about service agencies, the continuum, of course, relies on stability. Have you seen that in general, both you and NA, as far as the ability to make up those shifts, the councils that your councils have determined, or do these shifts actually create challenges or stresses, or are they easily just sort of coped with by the various agencies within your service categories?
So for San Mateo, at least, so the increases have always been to the community-based organizations that are providing. So any cuts have always been to internally. So remember, San Mateo, we provide, so the outpatient ambulatory health services is provided by the county, medical case management provided by the county, oral health is provided by the county, mental health provided by the county, early intervention. The only ones that are not are these four actually below in support services. So that's where we're able to cut in those services and make up and put more down below. And with Manuel here, so we've also increased, we usually increase whenever we get our HOPWA funding, we've increased to our community-based organization, which is actually the same community-based organization that provides the housing services and the medical transportation. I'm sorry, not medical transportation, housing services and emergency financial services.
And then similarly, in the past, when we've had small cuts, we've just taken it in the food vouchers, just because we built up a little bit to be able to move on to the next fiscal year. This is the first year where we're increasing it by a lot more. And so it's possible that we're making some bigger changes. During the pandemic, it actually helped that our subcontractor was able to use their 340B pharmacy funds to really push out more food vouchers and emergency financial assistance housing payments for the clients. So that's really how they got the clients through it, is through the funds that they got by starting up that pharmacy program. Yeah.
Thank you both.
Are there any questions from Matt? All right.
Looks like Thomas has his hand up.
Did he? Thomas?
Thanks, Mark. So sorry, just with the amount of new infections last year for each of you, what were they?
I'm sorry, what?
How many new infections?
I don't have that data. That's part of the EPI data that I'll have for the 24th.
Okay.
But it was right around 51, I want to say. But I'll have that. All the EPI data I will have, and that was for 2021. I'll have that on the 24th.
Okay, cool. And you guys used to be in the 60s, right? 60s, 70s. Is that right, Matt?
No. We've been, so going back here, we had 59 in 2016, 59 in 2017, 61 in 2018, 55 in 2019. So we've, and then 45 in 2020. 2020 was the big drop, but 2020 was that.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Looking at our chart, I think we had maybe 13 new diagnoses in 2021.
And is that a similar kind of steady over the last 5 years, or has it been?
It's like steady. I think last year I reported our average for the past 10 years was 17, and now it's 16. So it's like very steadily, maybe going down one by one.
Interesting. Okay, helpful. I was just kind of, now I want to look at Alamitos and San Jose's. Like, I'm wondering how many people are in this plateau space and then how many people are dropping. So
I think 2020 was a drop for everybody.
Yeah.
2021 is going to be kind of a catch up, for lack of a better term, because just fewer people were seeking out any type of medical care, so that no, even regular new infections were not caught. So the only way you were really catching infections if somebody was seeking out care. This is the same with STDs. STDs dropped in 2020. Well, no, that's not the case now. So.
Awesome. Thanks to both of you. That was a lot of information. So.
That was great. Is there any other questions?
Well, I'm curious, Matt, do you provide food vouchers, or is it a food pantry that the fund's going to?
So they do have a food pantry, but they've, in 2020, because of COVID, they really shifted over mostly to food vouchers. It was Safeway gift cards and Target gift cards they were purchasing a lot of. And so now they've gone back to mixing, but it's still heavily food vouchers, a lot more, way more than that. Used to be a very tiny percentage, but yeah, it's way more than it used to be. And I think that's just kind of the natural kind of shift that we're going to see now, that instead of people coming in to access services, if we can get them food vouchers, that's going to be easier for them. Especially in kind of like our counties. Nah, I'm sure you guys experience the same thing. Transportation is not easy in the rural areas and getting from one place to another. So we're not going to have people try to make it all the way into Redwood City, North Fair Oaks area if we can mail them, if the community-based organization can mail them gift cards. So
our subcontractor actually delivered the food from the food pantry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions?
Across all of Marin County?
That's a lot. I wouldn't want that gas bill right now.
they offered it. Yeah. So for folks that want it, they can have it delivered. It was during the pandemic, but they've continued it. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Any other questions? All right, then our next meeting is what, November 8th, I think, on Election Day. And we'll see everybody then. And I appreciate everybody showing up, so thanks.
Wait, hold up.
Okay, go ahead.
The next meeting is on Election Day?
Yes.
So that is a Shanti holiday. So we should probably reschedule this if you want staff support.
okay, how about the following Tuesday after that, the 15th?
Works. How's that work?
Anybody have an issue with that on the 15th, same time?
Okay.
No, I just knew it was Election Day because it's the second.
Day. I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you again, everybody, for showing up, and we'll see you in probably steering our
show.
Yes.
Nobody has questions about how an election day is a holiday. I want to know more, Mark.
I think all agencies should be modeled after Shanti's.
Extremely. You want to write a letter for me?
We give 2 weeks off, for example, at the end of December. You all deserve this from the emotional labor that you're providing.
I appreciate the love. All right.
All right. With that, we'll end the meeting. And thanks again, everybody. Bye,
everyone.
Bye, everybody.